Hello and welcome all to WFHR's Rapids Report for this May 16th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and welcoming on the phone lines our good friend, Senator Patrick Teston. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing well. We appreciate the time, especially, you know, Representative Krug, you guys are always very busy, but especially lately, it feels like you guys have been extra busy, even more so. Speaking of Mr. Krug, you and him drafted a Senate Bill 156 that would require all first responders to carry and be trained to administer epi delivery systems. I saw that this was, anytime I see you two teaming up or working together on something, I know how important not only it is, but especially to our area.
Yeah, and this is a piece of legislation that really came to us from constituents in the Grand Rapids area from a just absolutely tragic and heartbreaking story. The Mueller family, their son, unfortunately passed away this past November, 2 days before Thanksgiving. And for most of his entire life, that was cut short far too early, avoided peanuts. And he had a peanut allergy, and unbeknownst to him, he had purchased some peanut butter M&Ms, began going into anaphylactic shock. And unfortunately, the first responders on scene were law enforcement, and they didn't have epinephrine. And by the time paramedics arrived on scene and were able to administer epinephrine, it was too late. And unfortunately, this young man's life was cut tragically short. But a huge shout out to his parents, who really have stepped up in a big way. In fact, I had a conversation with Andrew's father 2 days before Christmas, and he shared his just gut-wrenching story. And immediately I said, okay, well, we'll step up and do what we can to help. So he actually had provided us some model language and legislation that would allow all first responders to carry epinephrine to avoid tragedies such as the one of their son. And to me, it just makes sense when you think about all the things that, and work that has been done, especially on the opioid crisis, where most law enforcement now carries Narcan. I think this just goes hand in hand in providing our first responders another tool and resource to avoid a tragedy such as this. And so unfortunately, you know, this legislation wasn't there and wasn't available for their son, Andrew, but, you know, they're continuing his legacy and fighting for him and his story and hoping to ensure that tragedies like this don't occur across the state. And so the bill was heard in the Senate Health Committee a couple weeks ago. I thought the testimony was incredible and very impactful, and I'm hopeful that as we work with our colleagues through this process, that we can get this one across the finish line and ensure that his story and legacy lives on.
Are you seeing bipartisan? I know that I mentioned I'm seeing it's a bipartisan bill. Are you seeing that support with this?
I am, and that's what's been so great about this is that Republicans and Democrats come to the table to tackle this issue. And, you know, there are some things that we have to iron out. There is a cost component to this that, you know, some stakeholders have reached out and expressed concern over, and we're working with the Department of Health and Human Services and other stakeholders to see what can be done here, whether it's in the state budget or as a standalone appropriation to help lower some of those costs. But I think by and large, everyone's in agreement this is the right thing to do, and it's just, you know, trying to thread the needle to hopefully get this to become law.
Mm-hmm. Well, earlier this week on the report, we had Carolyn Saylor and Sheriff Sean Becker in to talk about bluegrass at the lake. And it's another reminder of me of one of the more amazing things that human beings can do when there is personal tragedy and unspeakable tragedy. And when you can take that and do some good with it, do something beautiful with it. That's only human beings are capable of that. And it really is remarkable whenever it happens on that level or this level, whatever it might be. Appreciate the work on that one, sir. We talked about this in the last conversation. Wisconsin Senate passed the bipartisan bill that will help ensure our state remains a national leader in the production of potatoes, especially going into the weekend here. I wanted to touch on this one with you.
Yeah, so this was kind of a throwback for me, because one of the first bills I authored when I first got elected back in 2016 and took office in January 2017 was making improvements to our seed certification program for our potato industry, which Wisconsin is the third largest potato producing state in the country. We're also one of the largest certified seed growers in the country as well. And our potato crop was valued at over $325 million last year alone, and our certified seeds were valued at over $75 million. Now, we've had a certified seed program on the books since 1913, so over 100 years this program has been in existence. And the issue that got brought up is that we provide our Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection under statute the authority to make sure that anyone who plants potatoes more than 5 acres, that they use certified seed to ensure that we have pathogen-free potatoes, because potatoes are very susceptible to disease and things like late blight, which can wipe out an entire crop. And with many of our growers who are on contracts with very well-known and large companies like Frito-Lay and others, it's critically important to ensure that we have and know what's going on in the ground to ensure that we have a safe and secure food supply chain. Now, what had happened was there were a couple of actors up in northern Wisconsin, up in the Oneida and Lane Lake County area, who planted uncertified seed. And basically, when the department reached out to them and said, hey, that wasn't certified, you need to remove these from your fields, they basically ran the numbers and said, you know what, we'll just pay the fine, no big deal, just a slap on the wrist. Mm. Well, that's really concerning. And so we worked with the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Grower Association, along with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, to not add on more regulation, but just to provide them more teeth and enforcement to ensure that any potential bad actors, that there's going to be a stiffer penalty to ensure that, you know, we don't have uncertified seed going into the ground, which can threaten the entire stock that we have here in the state. So I was very happy to see that one passed unanimously out of both houses, and we're just awaiting the governor's signature on it.
I understand the ag industry in our state, how vital, how important it is, and how, you know, so much of this might be common knowledge for some people. I have to say, it wasn't until talking with you, and UW's Matt Lippert gave me a little info on this one, but really diving into that, not only how well we do with potatoes in this state, but the worry of contamination, like you're talking about there with some of these other ones and everything. It really is important, and it truly does have a trickle-down effect with this, and a domino effect with it, where how it affects other farmers. So great to hear that one is progressing, and here's hoping it gets signed. Wanted to take a moment to talk about Senate Bill 204 with you. This is a bipartisan legislation that is attempting to encourage more video game production companies to locate in Wisconsin. I find this very encouraging and very interesting, sir, and I want you to dive into it. But I mentioned Matt Lippert before. It wasn't until really talking with him and some of our UW Extension people that I understood how hand-in-hand our ag industry and our tech world are. I really was late to the party on this one, and understanding how much the two worlds not only work together, but need each other. And we certainly have seen our state being hit hard, whether it's, you know, not getting enough snow up north, so our people up north have more resources and more, you know, can make more sale that way, or just looking at, you know, other ways to, and other avenues to bring people to our state and to create more economy in our state. One of the most biggest growing industries in our whole lifetimes, no matter what age we are and you are out there, is the video game industry. It's, you know, you look at things and look at stock or things that you can count on. It's crazy to think that fantasy sports, some of these things that we would have never guessed as kids, are you know, important to economies. A bill like this seems to have a lot of legs.
Yeah, so this is one of the cool parts of my job, and I've got to do a shameless plug here, because, you know, I've played video games my entire life. I still do when I get, you know, a moment of free time to kind of unwind and play some Madden or, you know, Call of Duty, you name it. But turns out that actually Wisconsin is becoming a hub for video game production, and I had no idea until I was approached. So, for instance, we've got a number of studios here in the state, like Raven Studios, who make a lot of very well-known and widely popular games. Because the issue is many of these developers that are currently housed in places like California are looking to get out of California and come to states like Wisconsin. And so this would actually incentivize more of these developers to set up shop here by providing them tax credits. And so, you know, when we talk about what we can do to market Wisconsin to be more competitive, it's things like this that do just that, trying to attract more businesses to come into the state, which means they bring in more people, families relocate here, they set up shop, and this is how we expand our tax base. And at the same time, this is an industry that has seen tremendous growth over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, you think about how far we've come from the days of, you know, playing, basic Nintendo now, you know, you've got virtual reality games. And so I'm actually really excited about this because Raven Studios, they have a facility in Middleton that I'm going to be taking a tour of. And I know my co-author and the Assembly Representative, Nate Gustafson, took this about a year ago and absolutely raved about it, how cool it was, because they immerse you in, you know, the whole body imaging and, you know, the animatronics and everything else that goes along with that. So I'm really excited to see just some of the technology that goes into this, because it's super high tech. And you talked about some of the tie-in with, you know, the egg industry. It's pretty remarkable. I met with an organization just about 2 weeks ago now that are using virtual reality to basically help upskill individuals within our correction system. So, you know, as they get ready for their earned release, they have some knowledgeable skills and useful tools that they can take with them to apply to the real world and cut down on recidivism rates. So just goes to show that, you know, you may think of video games as a leisure, but in practicality, it's actually being used to upskill and train people and give them skills that they can apply in the real world and hopefully get good paying jobs as a result of it.
Yeah, the I think the idea of what video games are and were, it's growing and changing all the time. Just between you and I, sir, is this the real reason you got into politics? Just to do the video game thing. I won't tell anybody. I wouldn't blame you. And I'm with you. If you haven't played the new NCAA college football game, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't get over how great it is. And this is good for a lot of the reasons, not only that you mentioned there, but as we and other states certainly are looking to bring people to our state. One of the things, and I don't have a ton of people that I know in Silicon Valley, but my time in California, I've ran into and know a couple of friends that I still talk to. And one of the more consistent things they're talking about is what you said earlier, people wanting to get out of the valley and wanting, they have this skill set, so they want to use it. They want to work in the tech industry, but they want a rural life. They want a more, you know, just down home kind of life. And they want the best of both worlds, essentially, is the way that it's been told to me. Wisconsin offers that. Wisconsin that offers that all over the state. Doing this is not only a win-win for our state and our economy and the jobs it can create, but also the opportunities that I think it can create in the industry. Because the other thing I hear is, you know, they're spending time in California, so you see a lot of games that have a lot of California base or intentions and stuff. The Midwest is gigantic within the video game industry. It only makes sense to be making more games here and more games along those lines of things that are going to bring people to through their councils and stuff. And I think that go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, that's a perfect tie-in too, and the reason why we've got a bill that was just released on Monday that deals with talent attraction grants through an organization called Make My Move that would provide grants through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to provide to communities, nonprofits, and tribal organizations to really create plans to then go out and attract professionals to their communities. And so, you know, again, this is about doing what we can to best position ourselves to attract new opportunities, new people, new companies in the state of Wisconsin. And so this approach has been used in other states, this organization. So essentially they create these plans with the end goal of having new construction, having new families move in, and it provides communities who are oftentimes cash-strapped because everyone's budgets are tight right now. And so this this one-time investment, we're hoping to get it incorporated into the state budget as the standalone bill works its way through the process. And if it's successful, then that gives us a perfect roadmap and a marker to build upon moving forward. Because I've said this countless times, is that the way I view it, we are in competition with 49 other states. And I think one of our biggest struggles in Wisconsin, and I think the Midwest in particular, is that we're Midwesternites. We're too humble. We don't like to be braggadocious, but we have to be out there telling our stories and highlighting what great communities that we have all throughout the state. And so whether it's in places like Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, La Crosse, Green Bay, or anywhere in between, having tools like these at our disposal to help local communities and organizations go out and, I don't want to say poach, but make the case like, hey, we've got a lot to offer. And you hit the nail on the head, James. Our work-life balance here in the state, the quality of life that we have, the low cost of living, that's highly appealing and attractive. But a lot of people don't know that story because we're not always the best at telling our story. And so I hope this is legislation that I've authored with Representative Armstrong up in the Barron County Rice Lake area that, we can get to the governor, that we can have it signed into law. It's another bipartisan bill. And that's what's so refreshing is that we've got Republicans and Democrats realizing, look, we've got demographic challenges here in the state. We're projected to lose about over 220,000 people here in the state of Wisconsin by the year 2040. And that's a major concern. On top of that, we've had roughly anywhere between 100 to 140,000 jobs available. So we aren't meeting the maximum output that our economy could have. And so by enticing individuals from outside of the state to come in here, we're going to hopefully grow our economy and expand opportunities here in the Badger State.
It's something that I appreciate the way you put this too, because you're not only yes, we are competing with 49 other states. We're also in better off looking at it that way, I think, and the idea of welcoming people to the state and being better about that. And up and down the state, there are events and different ways of doing this. I know here in Wisconsin Rapids, for decades, the state water ski show tournament, I think, is a great example of this. Since I've lived in this area, it's not just that the water ski show tournament's coming to town. It's okay, everybody on their best behavior. Everybody be treating people coming from out of city, out of state, that seems to be a common thing up and down the state. So when we're doing these things and having like a grant program like this, I feel like Wisconsin is almost built for this already. The grant is only going to enhance and help that out that much more. And certainly there's information and things that this organization knows that, you know, I wouldn't have any idea of or something like that, and that could be very beneficial too. And I can't speak for you, but I don't know, one of my favorite words, and it's just more and more becoming it, bipartisan. That is becoming one of my more and more favorite things to hear. So anytime that we hear that is always encouraging, and that these bills might get passed and everything. I wanted to take a moment to talk about just a couple of other things with you before we get to our On the Job series. Recently, you spoke, you were speaking at the official dedication ceremony for the new Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. You and I have talked about the Code Talkers quite a bit. This felt like a almost full circle moment for these great individuals in this great topic.
It was an incredible ceremony, and a credit to all the folks within the Ho-Chunk Nation who, really went through hours upon hours of records, because these were classified missions. The Code Talkers, the Native Code Talkers who served in World War I as well as World War II, used their native language to basically send communications that, thankfully, the enemy, our enemy combatants in both world wars, were never able to decipher, and it saved countless lives. But what's even more remarkable about this is that these individuals, the 14 Ho-Chunk Code Talkers, they took their jobs and what they did in their service to this country to their graves. And so it was brought to our attention a couple years ago. I had the opportunity to present the citation recognizing the Ho-Chunk Code Talkers at a Memorial Day powwow outside Black River Falls 2 years ago, and it was just such a remarkable experience. And then we were approached again by the Ho-Chunk Nation. They're like, hey, what would be really great is if we could have a highway memorial between Toma all the way to the border with Minnesota over in La Crosse. And so we ran the legislation. It, again, unanimous support. And then a couple weeks ago, had the opportunity to unveil the Memorial Highway sign alongside many of the descendants and relatives of these Ho-Chunk Ho-Talkers, and got to stand side by side with Governor Evers, Congressman Van Orden, and other elected officials who had a hand to play in this, and just recognizing the efforts and the service and sacrifice that these individuals made, and to pay tribute to their service. And so it's going to serve as a reminder every time you're making that trip on the interstate from Toma to La Crosse, that, you know what, here in Wisconsin, we recognize those who stepped up and served in such a remarkable way. And it was really just a very moving ceremony.
It's a real part of our culture here in the state, and something wonderful to highlight. We appreciate those individuals and certainly appreciate the work you and the colleagues have done to make this happen. I wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about your On the Job series. Not only have you been busy in Madison and Washington, sir, but you've been pretty busy up and down the state. You've had a couple of On the Jobs since last time we've talked.
Yeah, so the last one we had last week, I had the opportunity to work construction with Heartland Homes based out of Plover. They build houses, and they work alongside a number of great contractors in the area, Drexel, for instance, out of Amherst. And what was so cool about this project was the fact that when I got on site, basically what they had the foundation poured, you know, the basement, and by the time we were done, we had the entire first floor, you know, all framed up, all the outside walls were put in place. And what was super neat too was that the couple who is building this home and buying this home, a couple, they're retiring shortly here in the near future. They live in the Chicago area, and they're looking for places to relocate to, and they had several options between Tennessee here and a couple other spots, and they decided, you know what, they fell in love with central Wisconsin in northern Adams County. And it was so great getting a chance to talk and sit down with them you know, hear their backstory of how they're coming to Wisconsin and how they're looking forward to becoming future cheeseheads. And more importantly, I mean, the guys I got to work alongside, I mean, they were just awesome, awesome guys. I mean, we had a great time. I'll be honest, though, they kicked my butt a little bit. It was I was pretty sore after the day, but it was fun because the way they construct these houses, it's not pre-modular, but basically pre-manufactured. So, you know, semi-truck shows up and it's basically plug in place everything, and it's so efficient. And what that's been able to do for them on cutting down waste and more efficiencies, and just it really was a neat process. And so again, you know, Heartland Homes, Custom Homes, Drexel Construction, two great central Wisconsin companies. And again, just highlighting the different job opportunities that are out there. And as I often joke and say, it was an opportunity for me to get out of Madison for a day, which I feel like I'm a prisoner of now about 4 or 5 days a week, especially in the middle of the budget, to get outside, do some real work, and, you know, have a great time doing it.
My body reminds me every day of the years I put into construction. I hear you. And some great workers over there. It's also, as you were touching on there, I think it might be interesting and cool to the audience, for those that don't know that much about how much home building and home improvement has changed over the years, and how much they've been able to, you know, the construction industry is such a great example of America to me, and the resilience. And you haven't heard a lot of people saying, well, we're losing people in this industry or anything like that, in part because they've just adapted. They just roll with things and figure out ways to, okay, well, these houses got to get built. Let's figure out how to do it. And some of the things that you've noted there are some of the cool techniques and different things that they're doing to do that. Shout out to all of our builders out there. And a big thank you to you, sir, for always putting up with my questions and hanging out with us for a half an hour every month. You be safe out there. And if people have follow-up questions, would like to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get in touch with my office, feel free to drop us a call at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media, sign up for our e-updates, and really, as I've said before, it is the time to be in contact with your elected officials, as we are in the process of working through and creating the next 2-year state budget. So you got comments, ideas, questions, concerns, feel free to reach out to my office. I know our door is always open.
Always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next month.
Look forward to it, James. Thank you.
And a big thank you to you for joining the conversation out there. Everybody, we appreciate you joining us here at WFHR's Rapids Report.